turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, the first chapter. In your Schofield Bible, that's page 3. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The text verse is the 5th verse. We'll read the verses responsively. And shall we all please stand for the reading of the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And together also on the text verse. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray. Father, it's good that we're here. Of course, there's no place on earth we would rather be than where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be here this morning, and we would ask you please to meet with us as you usually do. And we pray for thy power to be upon us as it usually is. We pray that you'd bless, however, in an unusual way, for thou dost have something particular for us on this particular day that we would have gotten on no other day. And so open our hearts and our minds, and please bless with power our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just in case that to you that voice sounded a lot like mine, it was mine. He was moving his lips, and they were playing a tape of me up in the, over the PA system. Let me tell one better than that. I'm a ventriloquist. He's the dummy. And I love men who sing like men. But I don't know any. Morning, I'm going to bring a message that is so simple, I will lend fuel to my critics who think that I'm simple. But the reason that I'm going to bring it so simply is so my critics can understand it. I'm going to bring you this morning a wonderfully simple truth. I promise you that if you listen carefully, your heart will be encouraged. There are a lot of people this morning who need what I'm going to say. I'm one of them, and most of you likewise. Our Heavenly Father, bless me as I speak for these just few minutes to give this truth so simple. I wonder how we have overlooked it, and yet most of us have. Bless me as I bring it, and our people as they hear, and feed us, encourage us, lift us, strengthen us, in Jesus' name, amen. There's a touch of sadness about a sunset. Don't leave me now. Listen carefully. It is the vestibule of the nighttime. It is the forerunner of darkness. It brings death to the day. The dying day brings dark thoughts to the soul. There's something a little bit tranquil, melancholic, about the coming of the evening shadows. It signals the time of the prowling of the beast. Mrs. Hiles and I have just moved, and we have a condo, and we have an underground parking garage. They only gave us one space. We have two cars. I hope soon they can give Mrs. Hiles one also. We drive in and push a little button, and this opens. Right to our right is the garbage dump. I wish you could see. We're living in luxury. So much we may not come to church anymore in the evening hours. But you know how we put our garbage out? We don't have a garbage can. We walk across the hall and down the hall just a bit, and open a door, and there's a hole in the wall. We just push our garbage out through that. It falls down to a dumpster. You're listening to a high-class preacher this morning, folks. I tell you for sure. And of course, it's only cost us $6,000 a month. And now that'll get around the country. Rumor was in the condo, there are 39 condos, and the neighbors there heard it and spread the rumor. This house and I had sold our $1.5 million house. What's that area out there? I'm asking you a question. Sit still while I work. We had sold our $1.5 million house in Briar Ridge and moved to a condo. That's a dirty, stinking lie. We only got $1.25 million for that house. But anyway, now I've forgotten what I was going to say. But I still haven't figured out what I was going to say Wednesday night, by the way. We drive in at night, and right to the right, before you enter into the underground parking, there is a dumpster. And every night we walk in, there is a raccoon up on top of that garbage eating a midnight snack. So evening time is the time of the prowling of the beast, the working of the thief, the acceleration of sin, the fear for the infirm, the watch of the sentinel, the cry of the baby, the wail of the bereaved, and the sob of the lonely. Evening time. Psalm 22:2. I cry in the night. Song of Solomon 3:8. Fear in the night. Job 27:20. He stealeth in the night. Lamentations 1:2. He weepeth sore in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:7. Drunken in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. A thief in the night. Job 24:14. In the night as a thief. I'm saying that the evening time is a time of melancholy, a time of extra acceleration of sin. It's called in the Bible the shadows, the darkness of life, the heartaches of life. And conversely, there is a wonder about the morning. I love the morning time. That's why I get up every morning by 10 o'clock. I want to see the morning before I eat lunch. And it has been the favorite subject of the quill of the poet, and the brush of the artist, and the tongue of the orator, all these years, morning time. It announces hope. It decreases doubt. Morning is the convocation of joy. It introduces the coming of light. The sun has conquered darkness and rules as the king of the galaxy. The body is its strongest in the morning time. The mind is its quickest in the morning time if you've had your coffee. The body temperature is its lowest in the morning time, and the step is its fastest. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, and His presence came like glory with His sunrise on my breast. All day long His presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were torn and battered. Other ships were sore distressed, but the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed the moorings of His presence far behind. So I think I've learned the secret, learned from many a trouble away. If you meet God in the morning, you can have Him all the day. Brother Jeff, I want to tell you something about the morning time. Early in the morning, there's something gets light over on the eastern horizon. It just barely gets light, and a little lighter, and a little lighter, and a little lighter, till finally a big round thing comes up. Try it sometime. It's the same thing that's right above your head when you eat lunch every day and get up. But I'm saying there's something about the morning time. I saw God wash the world last night with His sweet showers on high. Then in morning came, I saw Him hang it out to dry. He washed each tiny blade of grass and every trembling tree. He threw His showers against the hills and then the billowy sea. The white rose is whiter still. The red rose is more red. Since God hath washed each tiny face and put them all to bed, there's not a bird, there's not a bee that wings along the way. But what is a cleaner bird or bee than it was yesterday? Yes, I saw God wash the world last night. Ah, would He wash me as clean of all my dirt and filth as an old white birch tree? Anybody who gets up early knows this is true. There's a freshness and a delight and a joy in the morning. How many times have I gone to visit some dying saint in the wee hours of the morning, and they'd cry, I wish morning would come. I wish morning would come. I wish morning would come. A wonderful time of the day. Faith has replaced doubt. Hope has replaced despair. Courage has replaced fear. light has replaced darkness, wake has replaced sleep, and smiles have replaced sighs. It's morning time. So, in the morning cometh joy. Psalm 30, verse 15. Joy cometh in the morning. A hidden yet obvious truth, orphaned by the birth of new truths, which are not truths but suppositions, is often overlooked in Genesis chapter 1. There are only two other statements mentioned more than this statement. God says in Genesis 1:5, the evening and the morning were the first day. Again, in Genesis 1:8, and the evening and the morning were the second day. In Genesis 1:13, and the evening and the morning were the third day. In Genesis 1:19, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. In Genesis 1:23, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. In Genesis 1:31, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Again, it's mentioned that same way, evening and the morning, in Psalm 55:17, Daniel 8:26, Exodus 27:21, Leviticus 24:3, the evening and the morning. Now, follow me carefully. I want to give you a truth so simple you'll wonder why you came, but you'll be glad you came if you'll savor it through the afternoon time. If you and I had penned this script, we'd have said the morning and the evening were the first day. The morning and the evening were the second day. The morning and the evening were the third day. And the morning and the evening were the fourth day. And the morning and the evening were the fifth day. And the morning and the evening were the sixth day. But God did not do so. We would make the day begin with sunrise and end with sunset. We would have put light, then darkness. But God begins the day with darkness and carries it to the sunrise. God says the evening and the morning. You see, with God, sunset comes before sunrise. With God, darkness comes before light. With God, toil comes before rest. Work comes before pay. The cross comes before the resurrection. And labor comes before buying. And tears come before joy. And sowing comes before reaping. And race comes before the reward. And repentance comes before revival. And weeping comes before rejoicing. And travail comes before birth. And earth comes before heaven. And the wilderness comes before Canaan. But we don't like that. We want to have joy in the morning time. And we want to rush right into joy. But there is no real happy morning until there has been the travail and the darkness of evening. The evening and the morning were the first day. We want the opposite. We want sunrise before sunset. We want light before darkness. We want rest before toil. We want buy before labor. We want joy before tears. We want reaping before sowing. We want rewarding before running the race. We want revival without repentance. We want rejoicing without weeping. But let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, there are two sureties in our text this morning. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. One surety in life. One evening will come. I said, darkness will come. If you've not had your darkness hang around as sure as God is God and time is time, darkness will come. No way to prevent it. Brightness will be conquered by shadows, and shadows conquered by darkness. Listen to me. Darkness is going to come into your life. It may be the child will be discovered to have leukemia. Just last Sunday, precious little 5-year-old girl came to my office after the service. A lovely couple. I recall when they were dating. I recall when they were students in our college, and now they have two children of their own, and they brought this precious little 5-year-old girl, and the doctor said she has leukemia. I anointed with oil and prayed for God to heal her. I say, night cometh. The husband is taken by death. Night cometh. The tests have proved malignancy. Night cometh. The trusted one has betrayed you, and night cometh. You're paralyzed for life, perhaps, is our brother over here, our brother Rogers, and night cometh. The baby is not normal. Night cometh. The little child has been crushed by an untimely accident. Night cometh. Your child is discovered to be deaf. Night cometh. Blindness is approaching swiftly, and night cometh. Your parents have divorced, and night cometh. Your husband is gone, and night cometh. Your mother is lying in state, and night cometh. A child has broken your heart, and night cometh. You've drifted away from God and gone into sin. And now you carry a baby in your body outside of the marital vows. Night has come. Let me say this morning, I know all these things except one I just listed, I've faced this very week. Everything except one, I have faced somebody in this kind of heartache this week. People often ask me, Bill House, why do you preach to the brokenhearted so much? Number one, he who preaches to the brokenhearted will never want for a congregation. You have no idea how many people came this morning to get strength for tomorrow. I'm saying night is going to come. That is a surety of life. Second surety, oh boy, as sure as night comes, morning will follow. I didn't say morning may follow. I said morning will follow. So in the nighttime, praise God, as the clock ticketh, it is bringing you closer to the morning time. There is no way to prevent it. Hey, one in the darkness today, there's no way to prevent it. Morning's going to come. Did you understand? Morning is going to come. Bereaved one, morning is going to come. Lonely one, morning is going to come. God said the evening and the morning were the first day, and a day is a microcosm of life. And so the evening time, the shadows, are forerunners of the daytime, and it will come. Did you hear that? Morning will come. Did you hear that little lady with a broken heart? Morning will come. Did you hear that little mother with a husband who's forsaken you for a whore? Morning will come. Did you hear that one who's been discovered to have cancer? Morning will come. As sure as there is a God in heaven, if you're in the darkness now, you're walking step by step toward the morning. For the evening and the morning were the first day. If you're in darkness, light must come. If you are in toil, rest must come. If you are weeping, joy must come. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Doesn't say may reap in joy, should reap in joy. But if you in nighttime now, as sure as God is God, there's going to come a time when joy comes because morning is going to come and joy comes in the morning. If you're in the wilderness now, Canaan must come. If you're running the race now, the reward must come. If you're on the cross now, resurrection must come. If you're in the sunset now, sunrise must come. If you're sowing now, reaping must come. If you're in repentance now, revival must come. If you're wounded now, healing must come. If you're in nighttime now, daytime must come. If you're in tears now, joy must come. Morning will come. Did you hear me? Paralyzed one, morning's going to come. Did you hear me? Cancer-stricken one, morning is going to come. Did you hear me? Widowed one, morning is going to come. Did you hear me? Orphaned one, morning is going to come. Did you hear me? Abandoned one, morning is going to come. Did you hear me? Confined one, morning is going to come. Did you hear me? Lonely one, morning is going to come. Did you hear me? Impoverished one, morning is going to come. Did you hear me? Heartbroken one, morning is going to come. So don't complain because you're in the nighttime. Shout because morning is just on its way. The greatest days of my life have followed nighttime. The greatest days of the life of this church have followed the shadows. And the greatest days in my ministry have followed the nighttime. I guess the two worst years of my life were 84 and 89. I went through the shadows, and this church went through the shadows. It seemed like the sun would never rise. It seemed like that there was not even a little awakening of the sun. Not even any little light in the eastern horizon. Will the sun ever shine again? Will the darkness ever be dispelled? Will the day ever come? I was in Valdosta, Georgia, preaching. I preached on a Tuesday night, and I made a statement I never made before. I was preaching about the power of God. I was preaching about the power of Pentecost. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, God is always the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Him there is no variable, there's neither shadow of turning. He's always the same. And I said, if that's the truth, then God can do today what He always did. And by the way, I'm not one of these ultra-dispensationalists that think God won't do today what He did back down in the old days.
The same God that parted the Red Sea for Moses is the God I talked to this morning. The same God that sent Pentecost is alive today. The same God that caused the sun to stand still and fell the walls of Jericho miraculously. The same God that healed the blind eyes of Bartimaeus and raised the dead from the grave. The same God who opened blind eyes and deaf ears and unstopped deaf ears and caused the lame to leap like a hart and the dead to rise and the blind to see and the deaf to hear. Hey, that God is alive today.
I made that statement in Valdosta, Georgia. I made this statement. I said, folks, I believe that 3,000 people could be saved one day, today, just like they were 2,000 years ago. When I made that statement, I wished I hadn't made it. I said it again. The God that saved 3,000 people on one day could do it today if a church would pay the price. Next morning, I went to the airport to catch a plane home. I was flying back to Chicago from Valdosta, Georgia, and God spoke to me, not out loud. He never has spoken to me out loud. He's never spoken to Oral Roberts out loud either. If he ever decides to speak to one of us out loud, I'll get the message first. But God spoke to me, really. He said, did you believe what you said last night? And I said a lot of things last night. He said, you know what I'm talking about. And I knew what he was talking about. He said, you said last night that if a church had paid the price. Now, this is right after the dark days. Right after the nighttime. And he said, you said last night if a church had paid the price, they'd get 3,000 people saved one day. Did you mean that? Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean that. He said, what you going to do about it? I came home that night. I didn't intend to do it. I didn't plan it. I've planned spring programs and fall programs since Moses was a boy, but I did not think about it. I stood here behind this pulpit, and out of the clear blue sky, I said, on a certain day, we're going to have 3,000 people saved here at First Baptist Church. And I said to myself, Self, what in the world are you talking about? I went home that night, and Miss Howes met me at the door. She said, you lost your mind. I said, why? She said, you know what you said tonight? Did you believe that? I said, I said a lot of things tonight. She said, you know what I'm talking about. And I knew what she was talking about. I said, and we worked and worked and worked. And came the day, 3,000 people. I'm not talking about folks won to Christ and soul winning around the area. I'm talking about here on this corner. That Sunday morning, 4,995 people trusted Christ as their Savior. The evening, and then the morning. It always follows the evening. The shadows are followed by darkness, and darkness is followed by sunrise, and sunrise is followed by daytime, and daytime is followed by joy. I'm simply saying, hey, are you in the midnight hour now? Praise God, the morning's going to come, and joy cometh in the morning. We decided to try it again. And the next time we had 3,300 people saved one Sunday. And I promised you we'd never have another Pentecost Sunday. So we didn't. We called it Hallelujah Sunday the third time. By the way, I'm announcing this morning something we're going to have this fall. The bus workers all just fainted, but no. And we tried it again and had 5,100 people saved. And then tried it again. And had over 5,000 people baptized one Sunday. And just a few weeks ago, for the fifth time, over 3,000 people saved at one church. And over 5,700 people saved one day at the First Baptist Church. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the darkness and the midnight hours and the shadows are getting longer, stand up and say, well, glory to God, morning's going to come. Evening and the morning were the first day. Praise God for those in the shadows tonight. It is nighttime. Praise God. Your greatest days are ahead. I've said this often from this pulpit. I said it again. You're not listening to some young preacher that reads the Bible and preaches the Bible and says, this is what the Bible says. I believe it. And that's enough. And every young preacher ought to do that. But you're not listening to some young preacher that's telling you what he's read or what he's heard. People every once in a while say, well, why do you use so many personal illustrations? Because I've lived long enough to prove it.
I've lived long enough to prove that Romans 8:28 is true. I've lived long enough to prove that all things will work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I've lived long enough to know that God will supply all our need according to His riches and glory. I've lived long enough to know that God will strengthen us, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I've lived long enough to know that the promises in the Bible are true. And bless God, let me tell you today, an old preacher standing up here before you, hollering and kicking over microphones, I'm here to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the shadows, hey, morning's going to come. The sun will rise again. The sun will come, and daylight will come, and victory will come.
So while you're in the shadows this morning, remember, the evening and the morning were the first day. We want the joy and then the tears. We want the joy first. But you always plant before you reap. You always weep before you rejoice. And in God's economy, you always work before you get the money. And you always earn before you buy. In God's economy, the evening and the morning are the first day. Oh, wait a minute. If you don't know God, this has no application to you. Because the truth is, you don't have morning coming. It is God who said the evening and the morning were the first day. Those of you, listen carefully to me. Those of you changing God's divine order, you're young, drinking your whiskey, going to your rock concerts, not listening to the preacher, not believing what he says, not living according to Bible principles, eat, drink, be merry. If that's you, let me tell you as sure as there's a God in heaven, your evening time is going to come. But when the shadows come, I don't want them to come. When the shadows come, rest assured, as the clock ticks, the sun soon will make its peekaboo in the eastern horizon. And soon it'll get lighter and lighter and brighter. And soon the noontime will come. So this morning, if you're in the darkness, in the nighttime, God's divine order, the evening and the morning were the first day. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're this morning in the darkness, jump up and down and kick your heels and say, glory to God.
It's evening now, but as sure as God be God,
morning is on the way. Would you bow your heads, please?
Open your Bibles, please. The book of